If you'll turn to the book of 1 John. Now remember, your Bible has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John, one of the Gospels. But you also have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which is near the end of your Bible. Near the end of the New Testament. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. As a matter of fact, the last five books are 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, and Revelation. So we want to go to the book of 1st John, chapter 4. We're going to be looking there, picking up in verse 7, going through verse 12. 1 John, chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. If I mention the name Jackie DeShannon, how many of you know who I'm talking about? All right. A few of us. If I said the two songs that she's popular for having presented and performed is What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love. Okay, that's the one that she did. And also, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. You remember that one? That was one of my all-time favorites. I played that 8-track until I wore that one out. All right. So, but both of those songs, I thoroughly enjoyed and reminded the world, especially at a time when there was a lot of confrontation going on with the Vietnam War and other type things on campuses, a lot of stuff. And it just reminded us what the world needs now is love, and that we should go, therefore, and put a little love in our heart. Be kind to our fellow man. So, today we want to talk about love. We want to talk about God's love for us and our love for others. I want to make sure we know the audience that's receiving this book. This book, 1 John, it is written to Christians. We're not told the specific audience, like, for example, at Ephesus or Colossae or Pergamon or some of the others, Thyatira. We're not told who the specific recipients of this book are. Many scholars believe it's what's called a cyclical letter, and that means it was just designed to be sent around to the churches and read. Right? So, if that's the case, John was probably focusing in Asia Minor and those churches right in that area, a whole bunch of them. Matter of fact, seven of them are listed in the book of Revelation. So he's sending this letter around to remind the Christians that they need to love. Christians that they need to love. The whole Bible is written to mankind. We know that. But almost every book of the New Testament was written either to a Christian or to a group of Christians on how to live in this world. It wasn't written to lost, but we share the gospel with the lost, but it wasn't written to the lost. They were written to Christians to explain something or to get them to do something or to warn them about something. So here, John is writing. If we've got the date correct, it appears that he wrote either in the late 80s or early 90s. And what was going on in the church at that time was there was a group that later became called Gnostics. They just didn't believe that Jesus was really the Son of God in the flesh, strictly spirit. That the Spirit indwelled the human form of Jesus for just a short period of time. The baptism, remember the baptism of Jesus when the Spirit descends like a dove? Remember that? And then you remember on the cross, Jesus says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So just that 3 or 4 year period is all he really was. That may explain to you why in the Gospel of John, where John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John seems to be defending what we agree the truth is, and that is that Jesus is the Son of God from birth all along. Okay? That's what seems to be doing. And he's attacking or defending or whatever term you want to use against this false gospel that's out there, that somehow it's only knowledge that matters and spirit that matters. It's not physical. So he deals with that. If we got it right, Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written in the 40s and 50s, possibly early part of 60s. But John didn't write his until the late 80s or 90s. The book of John, 1st, 2nd John as well, and 3rd probably as well. So that's a little bit of background for this. It's a Christian audience that's receiving this instructions. And what's been going on in these churches are probably dealing with what a lot of us have had to deal with over the years. Infighting in the church. Has anybody ever seen that happen in a church? Are you aware of any church that had infighting in the church? It could be over carpet. It could be over music. It could be over lighting. It could be over when the service is going to be. We're going to move it from the 11 to the 10. It could be over anything just about. And they would struggle with these things. So, but these people here are dealing with infighting because some of these people are getting pulled off to the side with this false doctrine. And John is trying to get them to correct. But it's hard to correct somebody if they're not willing to do what? They're not willing to talk or listen to you, right? It's hard to correct somebody. So in order to get, for example, if Carol and I are having a major discussion over something we disagree about, in order for us to listen to each other, there's a four-letter word that needs to come in play. And that word is love. Love the person. So here in this church, he is dealing with this issue, and in order to get these people on the same sheet of music and get them headed in the right direction, he's got to get them to love each other. One of the reasons it's often quoted among two as to why people aren't interested in the church today, it's the one major reason is they just see us as hypocrites. You know, we do the church thing on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week we do the worldly thing, whatever it may be. You know, we focus on strictly worldly issues. The other issue that they often talk about is the church talks about love but does not show love. So here, it's nothing new, 2,000 years old here, we still struggle with love. And he gives us a recipe or an example here of how we can be the type of Christians that we've been called to be. Now, you've heard it before. The Greeks had many words to use for love. We use the one word love, right? And we often say it with the same voice inflection. I love my car. I love my dog. I love my wife. Did you hear any difference? Which one did I love more? Got to be the dog, right? Now, we use the word love. Well, they use different words for love. And, like, for example, the Greek word eros, E-R-O-S is the way we would spell it in the English language words. Well, that's an erotic type of love. That is a very selfish, self-centered love. It's what I can get out of this, my pleasure. And you recognize that from the word erotic. Right? It's what I can get out of this. A way step above that is phileo, which is brotherly love, friendship love. All right? We recognize that from Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Just go to any Philadelphia sports game and you'll see the city of brotherly love expressing all kinds of love. I think it loses its translation when it comes to sporting events. But that's the type of love where I love my fellow man and I want to do good to him. I want to do good to him. But it's usually conditional. In other words, if my fellow man has treated me well, or I can get something out of this or whatever, it's above eros, but it's not to the highest level. It's that in-between love. And I will love my fellow man, I'll do good to my fellow man, but there's a point where I won't go further. Or I won't, if they're not reciprocating, I will stop. The next level is agape. It's the highest level of love. It's the type of love God expressed to us. Agape, you've heard it before. Agape is a love that says, I have no conditions on this. I will seek your benefit. I will seek to do good to you no matter what. if you sit there and slap me in the face, you knock me down into the dirt, you call me every name under the sun, I'm still going to love you. Because isn't that not what God did? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have what? Have eternal life, or everlasting life. Now, what did we do to deserve that love? We sinned. We spit at Him. We did everything under the sun. Nothing we could do deserved that kind of love, did it? Why does He express that love? Two things. He has mercy on us and grace. Mercy, we should be facing our own crucifixion. We should be facing our own death. But in His mercy, He has spared us of that by extending His grace, by sending His own Son to die in our place. Mercy is to be one thing. Grace adds on to it immensely. So He loved us, agape love. And He's calling us as Christians to express agape love. I don't know about you, but I find that extremely challenging. I find it extremely difficult. Events happen, things change. Back in 1975 or 76, I got married there, and I had been working for a particular firm and had left them. And the boss came to me and said, "Like for you to come back to work for us. I know you just got married. I think I can give you more hours and maybe get a little bit more money." I said, "Right now the economy is crazy. I'm guaranteed a job." He said, "You got my word. You will not be laid off." We got married in March of 75. Was working for him. Guess what happened in October and November time frame of 1975? I got laid off. You know? So, I didn't think too highly of that man. If I had had one of those little dolls that you stick the pins in, you know? If I had been raised differently, I'd gone out to take one of those things and just stab the tires of his car, cut the little, valve stem off. Help me well, okay? I mean, if I didn't, and there's other things that happened in my life since then. People have done me wrong, said unkind things, and the human nature wants to raise up. What's keeping it from being fully expressed? What's keeping this carnal nature from expressing its anger, its wrath, its frustration? What's keeping you? God showed us so much love. I mean, if anybody deserved hell, it's me. Now, mankind may say, "Well, no, you weren't as bad as Adolf Hitler, or you weren't as bad as so-and-so." You know, but that's what mankind would say. But God said, "You deserve hell, but I'm going to send my Son to die for you." So that's love. So He expects us to love. Now, you notice here right in verse 7, what does He say? Dear friends, dear friends, let us do what? Let us love who? One another. All right. Now, anybody here challenged in that at all? My brother and I mean, today's my brother's birthday. Him and I share the same age today. Yeah, we're both the same age. So, it's occurred a lot over the years, and hopefully it'll keep on occurring. But for 16 days, we share the same age. I'm older, but he looks older. So, anyway, I'm hoping to talk to him today. We don't have a tight relationship like we once did, but I still love him and still want to reach out to him. Growing up, anybody have any issues with your siblings, brothers and sisters? Anybody ever want to do something to them when they did something to you? I can remember Bob and I rolling around in the dirt, fighting away. Mom would come out with a switch and start whipping up on us. And then she'd say, "If you stop fighting, I'm going to hit you harder." Because she wanted us to get it out of her system. So then we would finally drift into that pretend fighting. You know, I'd hold him, he'd hold me. We weren't doing any damage to each other, but we looked like we were. I don't know if she figured it out or not. But finally, we'd stop this mess. But we always had each other's back. We loved each other. It's family love, friendship love. It's a good love. But God wants us to take it further to an agape love. And I've shared this with you one time before. Some of you are new. You didn't know this, I'm pretty sure. When I went to work for National Cash Register, I got a chance to get in the credit program, you know, the loans and stuff, so credit union. So I went and bought me a 1972. I ordered it in January that year, February time frame. Ordered a brand new Gran Torino Sport. Fire engine red. White bucket seats, black carpeting, 351 cubic inch. There, you know. I did get automatic, but you can still make it squeal in the automatic, right, as you shift. And, I mean, it was just perfect. And it came in about 10 days before my brother's prom. You already know where I'm going with this. My brother came to me, and he said something along the lines, "That's a fantastic-looking car, Ronnie." He said, "Can I use it for the prom?" To this day, I wish I had let him use it. My selfish, personal, non-sacrificial love for my brother said, "No, you're not using my car. You're not messing it up. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that." Well, I don't know how he felt about it in the long run. Well, you know where that Gran Torino Sport is today? If you do, you know more than I know. Because I traded it about 3 years later, and I'm pretty sure it got put in one of those block-type things and scrapped metal. But I got my brother still. What should I have done? What would have been a better legacy? We need to love each other. Sacrificial-type love. And we're supposed to do it even more so in the church. Look at verse 7 again. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from" who? This agape love comes from God. The more you know God, the more you study about God, the more you allow God's Word to get into your life, the more love will blossom in your life. And the more it will be reflected out to others. Because God is love. He is the source of the greatest love of all time. God is love. He says here, everyone who loves has been what? For those following along, he's been born of God and knows God. So he talks about the fact that God is the source of love, and it's also a sign of new birth. If the community out there, the world out there, recognizes that the church is not expressing love like it should, members of the church are not expressing love like they should, then what are we telling the community? God's not present. God is not in our lives, or He is not in our church, if we're not going to show love. It's a challenge. It is a challenge. Anybody here, married people, have you ever given the silent treatment to someone that you love dearly? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Why are we giving the silent treatment? I mean, we stood before some preacher somewhere in the presence of God and said, "I'm going to love and to cherish until death do us part, and the first argument I have, I'm going to give you the silent treatment." And we want to hurt them, right? Some way or another. We want to hurt them. So, love says, no, we don't do that. We forgive like God does. We extend mercy like God does. We extend grace like God does. Is it a challenge? Yes, it is. Right now in my life, it is a major challenge to love a brother in Christ. It is a major challenge in my life to love a brother in Christ and to not want to say things or do things or whatever that would be wrong. It's a major challenge. Maybe you're dealing with some major challenge in your life. But He called us to love because God is a source of love. And the more I take in God's love, the more I will express God's love. I win nobody with hatred. I win nobody with anger. I win nobody with cursing. I win nobody with horrible words and silent treatment. I win nobody to Christ that way, do I? If I'm here to make disciples, I got to express the love. God is the source of love, and love is the sign of our new birth. Look at verses 9 and 10 where he says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You see what John is saying there? We didn't know this love. We didn't understand this love. So what he did was he sent Jesus to show us this love. He demonstrated this love. Jesus hung on that cross because of that love. And now he's at the right hand of the Heavenly Father making intercession on our behalf, looking forward to the day that he'll call us home to be with him. Or till we hear the sound of the trumpet and he returns to take us all home. But love is the key ingredient. And it's a sign of our new birth. It comes from the source of God, and it's demonstrated most vividly in Jesus Christ. You guys would have been in major trouble. Every one of you here would have been in major trouble if it was my job to hang on the cross and die for your sins. And I had the power to call 10,000 angels. I'm a wimp. I'd have wimped out the first time they hit me on the back. First time they stuck those thorns in my head. First time they drove a nail. I mean, I'd have wimped out. You all would be going straight to you know where if it was up to me, because I could not have done what Jesus did. I didn't have that much love in me at that time. And I barely have that much love now. It's always a thread away from slipping away. Every time I struggle with how much I should love, I got to go back to Calvary. Got to get back there. Because if he could hang there for me, as vile as I am, I need to express love to others. So he demonstrated that love. As we look at verse 11, it says there, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to do what?" That's the expectation. That's the expectation. Because he so loved us, we should love one another. Anybody here like everything about me? Right. I see the vast majority of hands are up. Everybody in this room who's known me for any length of time know I have let you down somewhere along the line. I have failed you somewhere along the line. I've not set the perfect example that I should have set. I have not been the type of brother in Christ that you should have had. Everybody knows that here. That's known me any length of time. New people, you may be afraid to get to know me now. But I have done this. But fortunately, you have had enough love to forgive, to extend mercy and extend grace. You know, and I know that a few of you have let me down, and we've done the same in reverse. Let's keep loving each other. The church has been called to do that. It is so important that we do this because it's his expectation of us. Let's close with verse 12. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another," what happens? "God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." I want God's love. I want to be loved no matter what. Has anybody here ever had the feeling of loneliness? Have you ever felt really alone? Have you ever felt deserted, betrayed, and you just feel like the whole world maybe is against you? I mean, some of us have experienced this, I know. What got us through that? Well, maybe God sent an angel to us in the form of a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe God sent someone to us to express his love. Or maybe somehow or another, we were allowed to experience his love to a greater degree. What gets me through my difficult periods is the fact that I know he's listening and that he loves me. Anybody lost a loved one that you loved dearly and that you loved talking to? Man, we all have. You know, a few years ago, 2009, my mother passed away. Now, I still want to go over to the phone every now and then and say, "Mom, guess what the kids did today?" Or, guess what that grandchild did? Or, "Mom, I just want to talk to you about such and such." And I just loved, even though she was paying about advice, and she would call you up on your birthday and sing to you in that awful sounding voice, and then ask you if you wanted a second stanza of it. You know, you begged her not to. But you miss it. Why do you miss it? Because of love. an interaction. What gets me through, since I can't make the phone calls anymore, what gets me through is the knowledge that I can talk to God anytime I want. And my Father loves me and listens. He loves me and He listens. So I can sit there in that room upstairs and say, God, it hurts today. Somebody said something horrible to me and it really ripped my heart. Or Lord, I let someone down today and I know that they're mad at me. Or Lord, something has happened to our family. Something we didn't expect. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for loving me. Because it's your love that gets me through. Now, we've been called to accept that love, but we have been challenged and asked to express that love. Because there's somebody somewhere that needs that love today. Somebody. So express it. You notice what he said again? Verse 7. Dear friends, love one another. Well, if you're not sure of the plan of salvation, you got to believe Jesus is the Christ. That's what they taught. Those who believed accepted the message. And they asked what they should do. They were told, repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Repent of the life you've lived outside of Christ, outside of God. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. He'll meet you in the watery grave there. He'll provide you the forgiveness of sins that you seek. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. Your name will be written down forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make that decision today. If you're already an immersed believer, and many of you are, you already made that decision. You already got immersed into Christ. And you've somehow slid back into some sort of sinful state, repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Recognize your sin. Don't rationalize it. Don't explain it away. Say, God, I am a sinner. Be like tax collector in the temple. God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful, please. God will do that. If you need our prayer support, come, we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're already an immersed believer, but for some reason you haven't placed your fellowship yet, place your fellowship. Join with us. For the rest of us, let's get to the mission. Let's get the work done. We're here to get equipped so we can go out and get the job done for Jesus Christ. Now, if I haven't answered all your questions and you want to talk afterwards, you want to discuss things, that's fine. I'll be glad to talk with you. Don't feel the pressure. You have to come up here right now. But do think about what God wants you to do and make that decision appropriately.